Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 15th day of September. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all you KISS fans in Brookhaven.
I'm sure there are quite a few.
I'm sure there are, too. I mean, this is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though they were left out for many, many, many years. But see, Dave and I are kindred spirits when it comes to this. Because we know that they should have been in a decade before they were let in, and it's just some little...
A decade?
At least. How do you not...
A full decade?
When did that thing... I don't have the year in front of me. Whenever it was built, okay, I'll give you the first couple years, but KISS should have been in there, and at least in that first 5 years of inductees, given they started making hits back in the 70s. And yet this dude didn't put him in, Jan Warner or whatever his name is, because of a personal beef he had with Gene Simmons. Am I right, Dave?
Well, Greg and Sam, you're pretty close. But,
okay, that's all. I figured you'd fill in the blanks there, but
no, I was going to say they finally got in, but then you know, it took so long, as you said, it almost reached a point where I wish that they had said thanks, but no thanks.
You're absolutely right, and I say this. I said this about Dave. I'll get your opinion on this. I said this about one other person, and I think she might have done it. How do you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and now that it's not strictly rock and roll, it's pretty much, you know, open
pop music.
Yeah, when you put
American popular music.
How do you not put Cher in?
Yeah.
Dave?
Another good example in a former girlfriend of Gene Simmons. That's the connection.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. See, look at this dude,
that's why
man.
We got this guy. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Go cut his grass. That was a good one.
Voice of your Georgia State Panthers, Dave Cohen, on the show. I'm surprised you're awake, man, after last night.
Wow, what happened last night?
What happened last
I mean,
night?
I know what happened, but what, did he stay up late after that?
He was late and just euphoric. I mean, we had people rushing the field after the game last night. Georgia State don't usually have that kind of carrying on, man. And we had people rushing the field at the end of the game as the Panthers were victorious for the second time ever over an SEC opponent, 36-32 over Vanderbilt. Dave, what a night. What a night for Georgia State.
Sure was, Sam. And remember, you were sitting just to my left 3 years ago. We should have left Auburn with a win that afternoon as well, remember?
Absolutely, absolutely. Booed Bo Nix off the field. But a backup quarterback came to save us. Kind of like what happened at Wisconsin, right? The backup quarterback came and saved them. The Panthers would have had a victory over a Big Ten opponent. But talk about this happening so soon after what happened. You got to remind people what happened this spring for Georgia State football to really appreciate that win last night.
And I assume that you're referring to the coaching change?
Yeah, coaching change and massive personnel overhaul.
Yeah, Sean Elliott got the opportunity to go back to South Carolina, and, you know, that created an opening at Georgia State, and our director of athletics and our president had to immediately stop on a dime and start a coaching search, and Del McGee was selected. He was the running backs coach over in Athens at the University of Georgia. So he comes in a few weeks later. Coach Elliott left, I think, after the third spring practice session. So spring practice was halted and for a couple of 3 weeks, or however long it took. And then Coach McGee was hired, and spring practice was started up again. And, you know, in this modern day of college athletics and college football that we're in, as you've heard of the transfer portal. The transfer portal really got fired up at Georgia State. Players, you know, some players decided to exit the program, and a lot of players came into the program. I think when we were in New Orleans for Sun Belt Conference Football Media Day, when Coach McGee addressed members of the media there in New Orleans, the number was 48 new players that were on the roster. So, and there have been some impact players. That's always one of my first questions when we're talking about the transfer portal, who you lose and who you bringing in. If you bring it with regards to who you're bringing in, what kind of impact players are you going to bring into the program that are going to come in and make their presence known right away? And, you know, we had two of them last night on the final play, Christian Veyer, that 25-yard touchdown pass. To Ted Hurst with 15 seconds to go. The Panthers went 7 plays, 75 yards, and inside of a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, shocked Vanderbilt last night at Center Park Stadium. But you're talking about a quarterback who has been already at Penn State and Pitt and is in doing a fantastic job at Georgia State. And Ted Hurst, the receiver, who's Georgia State's top receiver right now statistically, had 7 catches, 128 yards, 2 touchdown catches last night. He's a Valdosta State transfer who's originally from Savannah. So you go back 3 weeks to the Georgia Tech game, as you know, and they don't play exhibition games in college, as you're well aware. You know, that night at Georgia Tech, that was the first time a lot of these kids had hit the field together and played together. So it takes a little bit of time to build what we call that football chemistry, and it certainly looked really good last night against the 2-0 Vanderbilt team. I know we're talking about Vanderbilt, and we're not talking about Alabama. We're not talking about Georgia or Tennessee or so, but, you know, Vanderbilt's in the SEC. They are still built as best they can to compete in the Southeastern Conference with regards to size and skill and speed. And Georgia State and the coaching staff did a fantastic job last night with game preparation and getting the Panthers ready to welcome the first SEC team into Center Park Stadium for the first time. It really was a great game. It was a great game in the end because Georgia State won, but it was even a great game if you're just a fan of college football and you happen to be in the stadium or you happen to be listening or watching.
Dave Cohen joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Dave, they say that Game 3 or after Game 3, you get a sense of what your team is, what they're going to be. And now that these guys sit here at 2-1 for the season, is there a way for you to describe the positives and negatives or things that need to be worked on with this team on top of the fact that we just started off talking about a coaching change as the season began?
You know, I'm sure if you ask Coach McGee and the staff, they could rattle off a number of things that, you know, that they need to work on, need to focus on. I don't think I've ever heard a coach say they're 100% satisfied.
Right.
Even coming off a big win, there's always something to be dealt with. And I think that you're exactly right about that. I had a number of people during the offseason say, especially after Coach McGee was hired, you know, how good is Georgia State going to be this year? And in all honesty, my answer was I'm not quite sure because we are dealing with so many new players. You're right. I think a lot of coaches around the country, because everybody's dealing with the portal and players coming in and players going out, that you know, there's not that football chemistry there that maybe we had the last 3 years with Darren Granger here for a solid 3 seasons and all the receivers, you know, let's just say in this instance, receivers that were here and were, you know, were Darren's targets week in and week out for passes. But I think most coaches would agree that they don't know quite maybe what they have, especially if they do have a lot of transfers. It might take until week 3, possibly week 4, for things to settle down as far as that football chemistry and players becoming comfortable, you know, playing with one another. Ted Hurst, as a matter of fact, was one of our guests on our pregame show on the radio last night. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And he mentioned really 3 things that really go the furthest, and these are all kind of obvious. Number one is you can't replicate game action in a scrimmage quite to the same extent or in practice. But, you know, Ted said that they do spend a lot of time or have spent a lot of time, you know, this summer, once they got to Georgia State, putting in a lot of extra work on the field after practice. And then the other thing that he mentioned was the fact that the receivers and the quarterbacks will spend some time together in the film room. This is a film-watching group, as most football teams are. But, you know, the fact that he brought that up as one of the factors in them trying to build that football chemistry, get on the same page, I thought was a really good answer. So it's on the field, but a lot of it is in that film room as well.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitforit.com outline this morning. With Dave Cohen, your voice of the Georgia State Panthers. He is social. You can find him at Georgia State Voice at GH State Voice. Dave, like you said, 3 games in and some good tests for a team that has been put together. You've had an ACC opponent, of course, here in town with Georgia Tech. You played a team from the FCS division, but one of the top-shelf teams, 10th ranked, was Chattanooga. Now you get a team from the Southeastern Conference. You get a week off before you play Georgia Southern and start conference play. Where do you think this team is right now? You know, I think this has been a good chance for these 3 games have been great for the coaches to have to evaluate and see where they are before you get into a conference schedule against the Georgia Southern team that got a win over South Carolina State yesterday?
Yeah, well, Coach McGee told us on our post-game radio show last night that there's nothing better or close to nothing better than getting a big win as you go into an off week. And I'm sure the players will get a day or two off from practice per se, but then the film room will really heat up. Practice will heat up, and it's kind of interesting, Sam. Like you said, all of a sudden here we are. We've arrived at the Sun Belt Conference opening game, and you know, start that off with a bang with your in-state rival Georgia Southern, and you get them at home. And it, you know, if your listeners aren't aware, that's really kind of a weird schedule for Georgia State this year after playing at Georgia Tech. The next four games are all at home at Center Park Stadium, and then that'll be followed by four straight road games, three of them conference games, and then one, a return trip to play the Huskies of UConn up in Connecticut. But, it's going to be an electric night, I would imagine, on the 28th of September when Georgia Southern comes in. Remember that Coach McGee spent a little bit of time at Georgia Southern, including an interim head coach for one of their bowl games a number of years ago. So he's familiar with Statesboro, certainly familiar with Atlanta. And I think it's with where the two programs are right now, with Coach Hilton down at Statesboro and Coach McGee here, I think this is going to be hopefully one of the more electric Georgia State, Georgia Southern games that we've seen. And really, Sam, you've been there with me to just about all of them, and it's an electric game to begin with. But with where both teams are right now, Georgia Southern's won two in a row. They had a win on the road at Nevada. You mentioned they beat South Carolina State. Georgia State's now won two in a row with the Chattanooga win and with the win over Vanderbilt. Both teams are definitely trending in the upward direction right now. It's going to should be a really, really good game.
Yep, can't wait for that one. That one's coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's always great when we get to play them folks from downstate. Dave, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yes, sir.
On this Sunday morning, and even talking a little kiss with Greg. We appreciate you doing that this morning.
Well, Greg knows I can always do that at any time of the day. That just comes natural.
I have something, I might have mentioned this to you before. We're not going to do it now. But there's actually a song, a very famous song, where it sounds like if Elvis had a brother or a cousin, this guy is the lead singer. And I'm going to play the song for you at one point, not this visit, but I'll play it another, and I couldn't believe it. And I played it for Noel. I might play it for you too. But the guy sounds like Elvis. And it was a song from the late 70s. But it's a huge song. That's a tease. I'm going to come back with it next time we talk to Dave.
Okay.
Play it. So I want him to remind me.
Good.
Yeah, he'll look forward to joining us again. You can hear this. All right, man, listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And as always, thanks for getting up and joining us.
Yep. Happy to do it. You guys enjoy the rest of the day.
There you go. All right. Dave Cohen.